Welcome, friends, to our Sunday morning service. Whether you're meeting with us from near or far, may the Lord bless you as you gather with us. Particularly, we'd like to welcome those of our own church family, especially our sister Catherine listening in Romania. You know, Catherine, we love you, you're missed, and we continue to pray for you, and Gabe, as you settle and make home there in Romania. And also just like to thank on your behalf those who put this service together week by week to enable you to listen online. And you may have felt short-changed last week, only two hymns. That was probably my fault when I sent the email through with the order of service and where to put the hymns in the recording. I just put the two hymns in, inferring that, you know, a third hymn, a final hymn would be obvious, but I didn't make that clear. So my fault. We will make up for it this week. We will have an additional hymn morning and evening. So we will have what would be a traditional service with four hymns. And may the Lord bless the worship of God, the singing of His praise this Lord's Day morning. Now I'm going to begin by reading from Lamentations 3. We'll read from verse 21 through to verse 26. Then we'll have our opening hymn, after which we'll come before God in prayer. So this is the Word of God as it's found in Lamentations 3, verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Amen.
Your eyes on Him. For
Friends, let us pray. Father of mercy, God of all consolation, holy Lord God Almighty, great Triune Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are almighty in all your works. Your ways are awesome. We are very conscious, our Heavenly Father, that it is by sovereign grace that we gather in this manner, this Lord's Day morning. No creature is able to comprehend the length and breadth, the depth and height of your most excellent love. Our gracious God, it becomes us whom you have made with your own hands to honor and magnify your divine majesty. You are rich in mercy and infinite in your goodness. You have provided our redemption in your only and well-beloved Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are very conscious that we know that we are righteous through the righteousness of another, even the Lord Jesus Christ. We therefore have cause to thank you for the blessed gift of your Son and to rejoice in him. May we show our thankfulness by the way we live and by the way we desire to come to worship you, the living God. Help us to be always devoted, confident, obedient to your word. Help us to love you with soul and body, mind and strength. Dear God, save us from an unregenerate temper and hard thoughts, slanderous words, meanness, unkind manners. Beloved God, teach us to master our tongue and keep the door of our lips. Fill us with grace daily, day by day. Fill us with grace. Impress upon us the shortness of time, the brevity of life, the seriousness of the work in which we are engaged. Impress upon us the account to be rendered, the nearness of eternity. May, our God, may we never forget that your eyes are always seeing, your ears always hearing. May we never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and his words. We pray that you would deliver this nation in which we live, who are very ashamed, despising of Christ, despising of your word. Lord, in spite of the judgments that you're sending, people have still not humbled themselves before you. We pray, O God, that in your wrath you would remember mercy. Humble our leaders who still believe that they are calling the shots and that they are in control of all things. We ask, Lord, that you would help them to see that just as it's true, lest you build a house, we labor in vain to build it. Lord, unless you build the nation, we're on the downward spiral to even greater depravity. We pray, Lord, not only for ourselves, but we remember our friends in the States, brothers and sisters in Christ, in areas where these riots have taken place. We pray particularly for the church where Alistair was associated in Minneapolis, Bethlehem Church there. We ask that your hand would be upon the people of God as they would minister into that very tense situation. And Lord, we do ask that, well, we know that it's Satan who comes to kill, to steal and destroy. And we pray that you would stay the hand of the wicked one. We would humbly ask that you would be with us this coming Friday as we gather for Dee's funeral. We'd ask, Lord, that the service would be a comfort to the family. We pray for Joy and John and for the grandchildren. We ask, Lord, that your hand would be upon that family at this time. We thank you that Dee, being absent from the body, is present with the Lord. And we thank you for answered prayer with respect to Rachel, that she is on the mend And we pray, Lord, also that you would be with others who have been led aside with this virus, and for families that have been affected by it, even to the losing of their loved ones. We ask that out of this situation, great good would come to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. We'll now have our second hymn. Turn in the Word of God to Genesis chapter 22. Sunday mornings we have been in the Old Testament during this lockdown. Sunday morning service coming from the Old Testament, Sunday evening from the New Testament, particularly from the dipping into the book of John again. But I pray that the Word of God has been a comfort to you, an encouragement, a challenge to you. And as always, we pray that the Lord would speak to us through His Word this Lord's Day morning. So if you have Genesis 22, a very familiar portion of Scripture, let us hear the Word of God. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place on which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. Then Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. We'll end our reading then there at verse 14 of Genesis chapter 22. And we'll have our third hymn. Friends, there are a number of things we could learn from the passage just read. We could learn obedience. We noted how Abraham was up early in the morning. How important to be up early in the morning and to be communing with God, connecting with God first thing in the morning. We could learn about faith. Abraham said to the servants, "We shall go," Isaac and himself, "we shall go and we shall return." That's faith. What was Abraham thinking on this occasion? Well, friends, the New Testament sheds some light for us on what is happening here. In Hebrews 11, verse 19, we are told that Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And so Abraham had no doubt that if he had to plunge that knife into his own beloved son, that God was well able to raise Isaac back up to life again. And certainly, friends, if we went through the passage, there are many such lessons that we could glean from these 14 verses. We are very conscious in these days that there is a harvest before us, as the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew's Gospel. You know, the fields are ripe on the harvest. There are men and women who are fearful as a result of this virus. We see them running around with their masks, trying to protect themselves. And there is some of them, and their hearts are failing them because they are frightened. They are truly frightened. And we believe that the fields are ripe onto harvest. And we need to pray that God would send laborers so that we can go forth preaching this wonderful gospel, telling men and women about the provision that God has provided in order to deliver them from the fear of death. And friends, it is good to remind ourselves of God's provision, not only for our material needs. Hasn't God provided for us bountifully during these past number of weeks? But it's also good, friends, to pause and to thank God for the provision of our spiritual needs, how we've been able to continue worshiping together and hearing the Word of God read and expounded over the internet. And so we thank God for this provision. And while we live this side of eternity, we are very conscious, aren't we, that we are hastening towards the consummation of all things. There is a day of judgment looming. There is a time when God will send forth his angels, his reapers, and there will be that great gathering in of souls, some to everlasting life and some to eternal damnation. And so, friends, we should be, of all people, mindful that there's a day of the Lord coming, and knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we should be eager to persuade men to settle accounts with God before that great day of reckoning. What I want to do this morning, friends, is simply look at God's provision. As I say, we could draw a number of things from these 14 verses, but I want to use just as my text, verse 14, the Lord will provide. And I want to consider God's provision for Abraham and apply the lesson of that text to ourselves. Now, we note that Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah will see to it, friends, or Jehovah will provide. That's what it means, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah will see to it, or Jehovah will provide. And I want to suggest that the truth contained in the expression, the Lord will provide, that truth was ruling Abraham's thought long before he uttered it here on Mount Moriah and appointed it to be the memorial name of that place where the Lord had provided a substitute for Isaac. Abraham had declared the truth when as yet he knew nothing of the divine action. He knew that the Lord would provide a lamb. He said that to Isaac when Isaac was asking, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where is the sacrifice? That truth, the Lord will provide, was ruling Abraham's thinking. And even when Abraham could not have guessed how this extraordinary trial would end, Abraham was still resting in the promises of God and in the faithfulness of God. As say, Isaac had said in verse 7, here I am, my son, said Abraham, verse 7. And Isaac said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, here's the ruling principle. My son, the Lord God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering. And in due time, as we saw from our reading, God did provide. And then Abraham honored God by saying the same words, only instead of the ordinary name for God, Elohim, he uses the special covenant title, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. That is the only alteration. Otherwise, in the same terms, he repeats the assurance that the Lord, his Lord, our Lord, beloved, will provide. Surely it was this thought which enabled him to act as promptly as he did. You know, reason could well have whispered in Abraham's ear, you've misunderstood the Lord, he hasn't asked you to do that. Reason may well have whispered in his ear, hold back a little bit. You know, there are 1,001 things could have, you know, popped into his mind by way of an excuse. But he refuted that reason or any of the arguments or suggestions that were popping into his mind. He refuted them all with the reason, the grounds. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. This was the way he would have stilled every doubting thought. Beloved, we need not wonder that Abraham should utter this truth and attach it to the spot which was to be forever famous as the place where God provided that ram. Abraham's whole heart was saturated with this truth that God would provide. And Abraham was sustained by that truth. You know, one of the lessons of this passage, beloved, is that as God provided for Abraham in the time of his trial, so he will provide for all them that put their trust in him. You know, friends, God will provide for each one of us, each of his own special children. We are the apple of his eye. The Lord Jehovah is the preserver of men and the provider of men. And further, friends, another lesson we can learn from our text is that God's provision for Abraham and Isaac typified the far greater provision by which all the faithful are delivered from death. And, of course, you are well able to draw the parallel yourselves, how this is a type of the greater provision to come. So, for example, when Abraham said that we will go and we will come again, we will go and worship and we will return to you, when Abraham said the Lord himself will provide, we can draw from this the truth that provision will come in the time of our extremity. The provision of the ram instead of Isaac was the significant type before Abraham's mind. Remember in John's Gospel, Jesus tells us, well, he was speaking to the Pharisees, wasn't he? But Jesus says that Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, surely, beloved, if Abraham saw the day of Christ and was glad, rejoiced in it, it was at that moment, it was at this moment, beloved, wasn't it? This moment when he beheld the Lord providing for his son Isaac a substitute. Abraham saw that day and he rejoiced. He saw what God had promised in this type. God give Jesus for our substitute in view of the utmost need of our race, a fallen race, alienated and separated from God, under God's just, yes, friends, just wrath and condemnation. Isaac was hard-pressed when God intervened in his behalf. You know, the knife was lifted high within a second from death when God cried out, "Lay not thy hand against the lad." Now, let me ask you, beloved, was Isaac nearer to death as he was bound in that altar with the knife seconds from his body? Was Isaac nearer to death than sinful man is nearer to hell? Was the knife closer to Isaac's throat than the axe of the angel of death nearer to the neck of the whole of humanity? Now, friends, I'm not saying that God waits until we are faced with such extremity before acting. God is so gracious, so merciful, he acts in different ways with different people. And certainly with respect to our own race, with all its rebellion and defiance and arrogance, God has provided long before need arose, if you know what I mean. You know, man hasn't reached his wit's end. He hasn't reached the extremity of his being at the minute. You know, during the week, 5 mile traffic queues to get into IKEA in Warrington, and people queuing around the car park for 4 hours to get in. You know, people aren't, you know, panicking to the extent that they should be panicking about a judgment to come. But God has already provided a sacrifice, hasn't he? Hasn't he already provided his son, the Lord Jesus Christ? And people despise that. You know, there won't be 5 mile queues of traffic for people to come to worship. There won't be a 4 hour queue for people waiting to get in to a place of worship. The nation, friends, is still a long way to go. But, beloved, we see a little parallel that I'm trying to draw here. You see, what I'm trying to say is that spiritually, until we realize the sinfulness of sin, until fallen men and women and boys and girls realize the sinfulness of sin and how close they are to hell and how they stand under God's condemnation, they will remain unmoved. Until we realize we have so sinned and gone astray that God must visit our iniquities with just punishment, which is nothing less than eternal death, we fail to realize the extremity of the situation. And people in our nation fail to realize the extremity of their situation. People in government fail to realize the extremity of the situation. And beloved, we need to be praying. God not only interposed for Isaac at the time of his extremity, but also at Abraham's. The anguish of Abraham had reached its pitch. And yet, beloved, yet his faith never wavered. Isn't that remarkable? His faith never wavered. And yet we know that Abraham is only a man. You know, at the end of the day, could any father see his child offered up without inward agony? Do you not think it's obvious that Abraham's heart was torn in two here? You know, as a rule, men do not see Christ to be their substitute and redeemer till they feel they are at death's door and until their anguish on account of sin has become great. And just as Abraham, you know, his faith didn't waver because he was holding on to those promises. Yet he certainly felt the extremity of his situation, and he was able to rest on God. And so we need to pray that people in our own nation would see the extremity of their situation, and they would also come to rest on God. Now, moving on, friends, upon the mount, the provision was made spontaneously for Abraham. The ram caught in the thicket was a provision which, on Abraham's part, was unsought. Now, Abraham hadn't prayed specifically for that. He knew that God would provide in some way. How God would provide, he didn't know. But we see that God spoke spontaneously from the free grace of his own heart, and he put the ram where Abraham found it. Did we pray for Christ to die? No, beloved, he died before we were born. And if he had not done so, it would never have entered into our mind to ask God for so great a gift. Until the Lord sought us, we did not seek to be saved by Christ. It's not in man by nature to seek a Savior. It is in God to give a Savior. And then the Spirit of God sweetly inclines and draws the heart to seek him. But beloved, this seeking comes not from man, comes from God. God moved. God acts. In Abraham's case, was it not an unexpected thing? He did not reckon upon any substitute for his son. He reckoned that if he plunged the knife into his son, God would simply raise his son back up again. And as for us, God had not revealed, as for us, if God had not revealed the plan of salvation by the substitute of Christ, we would never have dreamed of such a marvelous remedy. God has indeed done exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Further, we may say of Christ what could not have been said of Abraham's ram. Not only was Christ unsought for by us and unexpected, but now that he is given, he is not perfectly comprehended. We don't adequately grasp what it cost to redeem us. As it says in that wonderful gospel hymn, but none of the ransomed ever knew, but none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through or he found a sheep that was lost. For man's need, the provision was made by God himself. The text says the Lord will provide, and none else could have provided a ransom. What sacrifice could be presented to God if a sacrifice could be given? Let us not think that there is anything left for us to provide. Salvation begins at the cross and the bleeding Saviour. Beloved, do you think now that it's finished? Do you think now that somehow it comes down to us touching up that perfect sacrifice, adding something, you know, ourselves? No, it's all Christ cried finished. It's complete. The work is done. God has provided. God has provided forgiveness for sinners. He has opened up a way back to himself. And that which God provided for sinners is a provision most gloriously made, beloved. And we cannot add to it. We simply embrace it by faith. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. God provided a ram for Isaac, which was sufficient for the occasion as a type. But in order to save us, God provided God. Now, you know what I mean by that, beloved? God himself came into this world. God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man, comes down, implanted into the womb of the Virgin Mary, and Christ is born. The man Christ Jesus, but in every way God. One person, two natures. Human nature, divine nature. God provides himself. Not an angel, not a mere man, not a superhero, but God provides himself. Beloved, note, on the mount, Isaac did not die. The ram provided did not bleed in vain. Isaac did not die as well as the lamb. Isaac didn't die, the ram died in his place. The provision was made effectively. And you see, friends, Jesus Christ is our lamb. He is our substitute. And the reason we do not die is because Christ died in our room instead. His death was not a death in vain. His death accomplished what he ordained it to accomplish. And so, beloved, we are a blessed people. We are a people who have been abundantly provided for spiritually. And whenever we get down, whenever we find things crowding in on us, getting on top of us, well, we just need to take a step back, take a deep breath, and reflect upon this marvelous, marvelous provision that God has provided for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And if he has provided for us with such a great, marvelous, wondrous gift, he will continue to provide for us even when we walk through those valleys, even when we feel our weaknesses, even when we struggle with our shortcomings, our sins, and our failings and our faults. God will continue to provide. He who began a good work in you will carry it through to completion. Amen. We'll have our final hymn and then the benediction.
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, who provided for us such a wonderful provision in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, along with the blessed fellowship of the Holy Spirit, providing for us that fellowship with himself, may God be pleased to continue to abide with us. May he comfort us. May he strengthen us. May he graciously sustain us. To the glory of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.